Yep. Thanks so much, Alex. Appreciate it. I mean, we know he's going to be in prison for life, whether he gets life or not. I think the biggest story is why is he let out? Or the death penalty. But by the time they get the death penalty, it'd be years down the line. I think what's more important is how long are we going to tolerate these 40-plus prosecutors in place by these left-wing groups, led mainly by this Wren Collective, to go ahead and put these people in power that allow criminals to run free? The soft-on-crime policies, from the shoplifting to the cashless bail, is what is directly responsible for the deaths like what we witnessed in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. The justice system definitely let down this young lady and her family. The Charlotte mayor says the city's increasing security on commuter trains effective immediately. Sean Duffy, our transportation secretary, wrote this on X. He said, if mayors can't keep their trains safe and buses safe, they don't deserve the taxpayers' money. And Pam Bondi did say that this guy will never see the light of day as a free man.
So the American people, because of the fear that we now live in, are getting a master class on our legal system. And what we're learning is there's a lot of laws on the books and policies on the books that just don't agree with our value system. We thought that the jail system and the prison system was created for an individual just like this, to keep him off the street if you feel like he's a risk to society. But when you go through the laws for this state, the three judges that were involved in this case technically didn't even have the authority to keep him locked up. And part of the reason why they couldn't set the bail system the way, because there's this wave of criminal justice advocates that think everything should be race-based. So I talked about it with Andrew McCarthy, and he lays it out for us.
There was lots of evidence to say he was at risk of flight. He was obviously a danger to the community, given the kind of crimes he'd been convicted of and the evidence of this crime. So what North Carolina lets you do in that situation is they force the judge to set bail, but you can set it at an inordinately high amount so the guy will never meet it. That's a dumb way to do it. You should just have a provision in the law that lets the judge say, look, there's no amount of money that I would allow this guy to post and let him back out on the street. But that's the fiction they go through.
If they've been in court 14 times, committed crimes 14 times, I'm sorry, they need to be in prison, because this guy is an evil person. To be able to just go up behind someone and do that, a stranger, a complete stranger who had been working on this train, and do that is not something that we can wrap our heads around, because it's something that most people wouldn't ever do. But if you're evil enough to do this, you need to be behind bars. And it was up to these judges and the justice system to say, okay, you've been arrested 14 times. I think that's enough. We need to get you off the streets. And his mom was begging for it, and his stepbrother or half-brother was agreeing with the mom, saying this guy needs to be behind bars.
We don't have to. We feel so compassionate, because you see the mental health crisis happening.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not our job. We shouldn't have to live in fear while they figure out what's going on right there.
Right.
Put them in a mental institution, put them in a jail, and you guys figure it out. But people having to duck and dive on the trains and the buses, walking through the street, this is one case, but this is happening all across the country, and it's not a money issue. They have given billions of dollars to mental health and the homeless population. A lot of them don't want to take the programs. A lot of them don't want to get the help that is necessary. You can't give them a choice. Either you take the resources that we're going to give you, or you decide that you're going to be locked up in jail. That's the way it has to be now.
Or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill them.
Yeah, Brian, why did it have to get to this point?
Right. I would say this. We're not voting for the right people. In North Carolina, wake up. You can't keep putting these people in power. They woke up in Los Angeles. They got a stronger DA. They woke up and they got rid of Chancellor Bodine in San Francisco. Hopefully they'll get rid of this terrible guy, Alvin Bragg, in New York. And now it's up to the people, the election, which is who's ever up in November, and that Senate seat that belongs to Tom Tillis, who, by the way, yesterday said, I don't want any help from the federal government to bring crime under control in cities like Charlotte. That's your decision. But Michael Whatley, or you could have Governor Cooper. Governor Cooper gave you these terrible laws. Mike Whatley wouldn't, and he ran the RNC. These are the people in North Carolina, purple-leaning red state. They got a big choice. So on this element, it is political, because it's political because politics has to change this.
100%. Carly had one of the city council men on the other day.
Yesterday.
And he just infuriated me. Still denying resources, didn't have the passion of what the people are experiencing right now.
Doesn't want Trump to send in the
National Guard. When there's some racial incident, people want to politicize that. But you got this young girl who, at the end of the day, this is the part that really just tore me up. She didn't know what happened to her. And she puts her face in her hand. That's how she died. She was escaping a war zone and yet coming to the freest country on the land and went to another war zone in the United States of America. It shouldn't be that way.
Well, Donald Trump waited on yesterday, and he's going to be on our show on Friday. We'll be talking to him about crime. That's a huge issue and will be in the midterms.
And I'll add this. He's coming right off 9/11. He wants to be there year 24. Mm-hmm. He wants to go to Yankee Stadium, throw out that first pitch, and then he's going to come here right after. We have a huge agenda for him, but you know about the president. You have a question, he will answer it, even if whether he loves the question or not. He also grades the question.
That's true.
So he will tell you it's a terrible question, which I appreciate.
Right.
So Donald Trump signs this order to crack down on the pharmaceutical drug advertising. You know, you see them on television all the time. They're advertising different drugs.
That's
and telling
right.
you what some of the side effects might be. He wants to ramp up oversight. Won't be an all right or an outright ban, but there will be more oversight and more disclosures of side effects to ensure transparency. Just wants to make sure that consumers are informed, that you know what you're taking, that you're not just going to your doctor and taking this because you saw a television ad, that you're having conversations with your doctor and actually finding out what drug is best for you if you need them.
Here's RFK with Brett.
That's an historic change in the way that pharmaceutical advertising is done on television. And the order basically reinstates or gives us now the opportunity to reinstate the 1997 rules. There's only two countries in the world that allow direct-to-consumer advertising by pharmaceutical companies on television. We're one of those countries. New Zealand is the other. It's had a disastrous